Welcome to Punches and Punchlines, where we break down the best in boxing with a sense of humor. And now, your hosts, Fritz and Franco.
Welcome back, everybody. We took a week off because there wasn't much boxing that weekend. And to be honest with Franco and everybody listening, I didn't watch any boxing that past weekend. So the ninth, you know, it was opening football weekend. I was in Florida. Nothing boxing appealed to me. And, you know, checking my socials, I didn't see anything that was like, oh, I got to go check this out. So I don't think we missed much. And then I did watch boxing this weekend. And almost wish I was in Florida again this weekend because there wasn't much going on, Franco. Usually, Mexican Independence Day is a boxing holiday.
Yeah.
And this was Arbor Day kind of fights. Like, it was fucking very second tier. It wasn't wonderful.
No, and for some reason, the Canelo fight is delayed by 2 weeks off of the actual Independence Day, which, I mean, that's fine. It's just... yeah, this is usually the weekend. Also, full disclosure, I had surgery on Thursday, so I did get to watch all the fights this weekend. And like you said, they weren't great. And I was starting to wonder if it was from the drugs that they have me hopped up on, or if it was just that the fights weren't that exciting. But I had to keep rewinding because I was falling asleep. But luckily, the surgery is going good. And I have two splints inside of my nose right now, so I might sound a little bit stuffy to the listeners. And we're still going to plow on through because we ain't taking no weekends off. Even if I have discharge coming out of my nostrils, nobody can see that because this is a podcast, so kind of works out. But I'm ready to get into it if you are, Fritz.
Absolutely. All right, as we said at the top, there wasn't anything that was wonderful this weekend, so we're going to give it to you what we do have in fast succession here. That's probably not even the right word. We're going to give it to you rapid fire here.
Yeah.
Playing boxing. Because you know what? They tell us all the time that you can't play boxing. And we prove them wrong every episode with our segment called Playing Boxing. There was two cards on Friday. Or three cards. I didn't see any of the showtime. So if...
neither did I.
Okay. You know, it's probably going to be available on Wednesday. I still don't like how they run their shit. But I saw all the stuff from DAZN on Friday. It started out with Pacheco Jr., a big 19-year-old kid taking on a 33-year-old man. They were both undefeated. When I saw this fight and it ended with a body shot knockout, I was like, oh, this is going to be a fun card. And that first fight was kind of the highlight of that card. There were some fun fights after that we'll get to. But instead of going up from there, it kind of went sideways.
Yeah, it had a little bit of that like freak show sprinkling on it where Freddie Pacheco looked like just a big, heavy Mexican kid that just got off of PE and he's coming to class all sweaty. But Carlos Cadenas, the guy who he was fighting against, looked like he just punched out of work. Like he was just done at his construction gig and he showed up.
Right.
It was a kind of a weird fight. But yeah, that ending really was fun, especially because Pacheco is just so big. Like he's just a huge kid, 262 pounds of just not a lot of muscle and a baby face. So to see him win, it was super exciting. That was definitely a fun one. And then the next fight, definitely a huge downer, and not because of the fight. It was Skye Nicholson against Sabrina Perez. And it wasn't a bad fight. There was a lot of back and forth. And there was something during the fight before we get to the thing that kind of stole all the exposure on this one. Did you hear that they had open scoring at the place in Tijuana?
No, but I knew that there was some place that had done the open scoring. And I love that shit.
It's like, awesome.
Give it to me everywhere. You know, that's so wonderful. And you know what Sabrina Perez did in this fight is she punched Skye Nicholson. I think in all the like previous four or five fights that I've seen Skye Nicholson in, she's left untouched. So at least Sabrina broke down that first and was finally able to punch her. So like you said, we can get to, you know, what really happened in that fight outside the ring when you're ready. But yeah, it was for just those 10 rounds, it was a close one-sided fight, if that makes any sense.
No, it totally makes sense. And I agree. And open scoring for people that don't know, during the fight, during the next round, David Diamante, which by the way, David Diamante in Mexico, genius. Like his Spanish is good enough that it was cool, but David Diamante and all 7 foot with his dreadlocks and everything wandering around Tijuana in my mind, awesome. But so David Diamante would get on the mic and he would announce what the scoring was up until that point. I loved it, but also it let Perez know, hey, I need to turn it up a little bit because I'm losing this fight. She knew what the score was. So like, there is no confusion. There's no ripoff. And some of the announcers were like in favor of it. Some were against it, but the people that were against it didn't have a good reason to be against it. So yeah. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Anybody who's against it, it gets my fuck you of the week, because that's the dumbest shit ever. Like, you don't wait till the end of a baseball game and be like, all right, how many runs do we need to win? You know, like every sport, you can see the score throughout. There's no reason that you shouldn't be able to see the scores from every judge after every round. So that way, if the judge is going to pull like an Adelaide Bird scorecard, she doesn't get out of the arena without having to answer for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, a great, I love live scoring. It's so what's needed in boxing.
Yeah. And I thought Sky Nicholson looked good. I thought that Perez looked good. And then, yeah, unfortunately during the 10th round, Diego Arna, who is the trainer for Sabrina Perez and also her husband, you saw him on TV kind of go sideways off of his stool. You saw the crowd kind of hop up and start scuffling around like something was happening outside of the ring. And unfortunately, it turns out afterwards, he had a heart attack and they were not able to revive him. So it kind of reminded me a little bit of the broadcast for that Buffalo Bills game where they weren't exactly sure and they cut to commercial for a long time. And then when they eventually did announce the winner, you know, Sky Nicholson won unanimous decision, but she was the only one in the ring to get her hand raised, which totally makes sense. I thought, all things considered, they handled it fairly well. There wasn't like this, oh my God, let's rush the cameras over there. Like, I didn't need to see any of that. And, you know, it's unfortunate when something like that happens in a live arena. But I thought that DAZN did a good job of handling it and not turning it into a spectacle. Like, they were fairly respectful about the whole thing as it was unfolding, which, you know, if you've ever been in a situation where something crazy is happening, it's hard to do. I thought they handled themselves well.
Right. When it's not something that you go through every week, you know, when something is hopefully for everybody involved, a once in their career moment, you hope that you just handle it with grace. And I think that they did that. So, yeah, my heart goes out to Sabrina Perez. She lost her husband and losing the fight was so secondary at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just a crazy, crazy thing right in the middle of it. Crespo versus Oliva, I thought was good action, but I didn't think that there was anything that I'd be like, oh, you got to go watch this fight.
Agreed. Yeah, it was good back and forth. And, you know, each guy would kind of get a leg up on the other one every once in a while. But again, yeah, like you said, there wasn't anything crazy. Nobody ever took it that extra step that made it must watch TV. It was a good fight. And I thought it was close, but not anything crazy.
Melissa Odessa versus Erica Cruz was fun just because Cruz, she was fighting through a cut on her head right at her hairline. Uh-huh. Where for anybody that didn't see this, I mean, she looked like an extra from one of the Alien movies or, you know, like Carrie when they dumped the pig's blood on her. I mean, she was so drenched in blood that it was just incredible. And they were slugging it out the whole time. You know, I'm betting that Cruz could have fought a weight class lower by the next day. That's how much blood she lost. Like, I bet she lost 5 pounds of just blood. It was crazy.
Yeah. And she dominated too. Like, aside from losing all that blood, she ended up winning the fight and dominating. I thought it was a decent fight. It wasn't great. That was another one where I kept falling asleep and I didn't know if it was the Vicodin or just the fight itself. But yeah, the blood, man, there's a crimson mask and then there's whatever the hell that Cruz had going on, because it was next level amounts of blood. Very, very entertaining. And then I think the headliner was next, right?
The headliner was Fierro versus Zamperia. And I like that bunt. The only note I wrote down was that it was fun. It was a good main event.
I was going to say, I thought it was closer than what it ended up. I mean, it was still scored really close. It was 96-95, 96-94, 96-94. And it was closer than what I thought it was going to end up being. I thought that, you know, one guy would be able to kind of establish dominance and run away with it. And instead, it just kept going back and forth, kind of like the previous fight. I thought it was good, but it wasn't anything crazy. There was a lot of moments where they're landing punches, and I'm sure they hurt. But the guys were absorbing it so well that you're not seeing that reaction that you want. It's like, you know, you could have Thor versus the Hulk, but if neither guy is selling the punches, you're kind of like, all right, somebody get to the winning part already. And that's kind of what was happening here. Like, these guys are badass dudes, but they were absorbing the punches so well that it kind of lost that effect on me.
Yeah, it was evenly matched. And I did like the scorecards in that one, that I didn't have a dog in the race, so that everybody was seeing it kind of 96-94. I was like, all right, they're watching the same fight I am. That's all I ever asked for. And then the top rank card on Friday, that undercard sucked. Like, I didn't enjoy any part of the undercard except for Tim Bradley and Bernardo Osuna just going back and forth.
Yeah.
Everything else, the fights inside the ring, I didn't think were good. The main card had some fun on it. Luis Alberto Lopez versus Joey Gonzalez was the main event on that one.
Yeah.
And that was a good fight. It was like a tale of two fights for me, where Lopez was kind of the aggressor early and was more dominant in the first half of the fight, looking for a knockout. For anybody that didn't see his last fight, he's coming off a knockout victory over Michael Conlan and made Conlan look amateurish. Like, that's how easily he disposed of Mick Conlan. But to Joe Gonzalez's credit, he was frustrating Lopez, that Lopez really thought he was going to get this knockout. And then he did seem frustrated. They're like, this guy's taking everything I got, and he keeps coming forward. So the scorecards at the end were close, because those later rounds did start to swing to Joey Gonzalez. It was just kind of too little too late, where I agree with the outcome. But again, Lopez was almost looking in those later rounds for the knockout punch that wasn't going to come.
Yeah, and I like Luis Alberto Lopez. He's a little bit awkward. He's good, but the foot movement that he has, the way that he kind of navigates around the ring, can be a little bit wonky at times. And it's what I like about him. His name is El Venado, which, you know, that's a deer in Spanish. Usually deer are known for being majestic and graceful, and he is not. So I don't know where he got the nickname from. It's an awkward movement, but it works. And when you're watching it, it isn't awkward, like bad awkward, because we've seen guys where, you know, like MMA guys, where they come in and they just look like these rock 'em sock 'em robots and they're super weird. That's not the case here. He looks like a boxer, but he just moves around around the ring in a weird way, and it works for him. So I was glad to see him get the win here. And I agree, the undercard was not great, except did you get to see Xander Zayas against Roberto Valenzuela Jr.?
Yes, but that was on the main card telecast. You know break it up into two, where the undercards, I thought that sucked.
I didn't even click on that one.
Oh, yeah. You didn't miss anything. Before we move off of Lopez versus Gonzalez, I said that I liked the scorecard on the DAZN one. I didn't enjoy the scorecards on this one. 118, 110, 117, 111, and 116, 112. Might be able to see the 116, 112, I could see, maybe. But the other ones, I don't think were close enough. Like, the fight was closer than those scorecards were indicating. We just got to do better. Like you said, I love the idea of live scoring everywhere. Let's do it.
Yeah, I had it much closer than what they scored it. I thought 118, 110 was ridiculous. But at this point, it's kind of like you start getting used to it. But yeah, the open scoring, instant replay, all of these new things that they've been implementing, I hope they keep implementing them everywhere, because it really does it makes the fight's better. And when you hear a scorecard like that at the end, I think the right guy won, but to hear a scorecard that crazy, it did kind of take a little bit of the luster off of it.
Did you see that first fight on the top rank card then, on that main, where it was
Vargas and Guardado?
Guardado, yeah. I thought in, I think it was like the fifth, I forget what round it was, but Guardado got hit with a shot center of the face, where his reaction almost looked like he was doing a Kramer impression from Seinfeld, where he's like, you know, like his eyes got really big, like, holy shit, that hurt, you know? But that was at least a fun fight.
I love the booking on this one, only because Guardado is from Spain and it's Mexican Independence Weekend. So I was slightly worried, where I was like, God damn it. Imagine Emiliano Vargas loses in front of this crowd in Corpus Christi, Texas. And if he blows it against this colonizer, like, there's just going to be riots in the place. And that he didn't. He beat the shit out of him. I think he dropped him in the third is when that punch happened. And it was awesome. Yeah.
The ref stopped it in the third because Guardado just would not go down. It was like out on his feet, just getting pummeled. But he's like, no, you didn't knock me down. So he gets to leave with that. But that's about it. But like you said, then Xander Zayas comes on. Of course, two knockdowns in the first round. Probably should have been one. You know, that second one was kind of a push. mixed with a slip. Then it was like another fight where it was just so much blood that the doctor has to see him once. So you're like, all right, you know that this is not going to be going on much longer. He lets him fight for another couple minutes, gets even more bloody, and then they just stop it. This would have been a good weekend to be a donor. Like one of the blood banks should have been one of the advertisers for this.
Running around with buckets, just catching the blood as it's dripping off. Right. Yeah, it was crazy, the amount of blood. So the cut was right up on the bridge of his nose. And so when Valenzuela started bleeding, they kept like trying to clean it up. And he was saying, I can still see. It's lower than my eyes. But right. Then the doctor, you hear the doctor telling me, no, your nose is broken. I don't know. This is a lot of blood. The ref had blood on his head because right. It was splattering everywhere. And I'm sitting there watching. So the surgery that I had is inside my nose. Basically, they cut my septum. And I'm all stuffy and miserable. And I'm acting like a baby and whining.
You can just say that you got a nose job, Franco. That's okay. I wish. Like you can, we can, for insurance purposes, we can always go with the deviated septum. You know, I'm sure you're the first one to get away with that.
No nose job. I want to keep my Mexican nose intact. But you know, he's sitting there and he keeps arguing with the doctor. He's like, I can keep going. And I'm thinking, stop. Like I can't breathe on my couch. And I just had a little cut inside of my nose. Your face is like been rearranged and there's blood spraying everywhere. For the love of God, just stop fighting. And so I was glad when the referee finally stopped it, because God only knows what kind of damage would have been done permanently had this one kept going.
Yeah. And then the only other fight that I'll mention from this past week was the Saturday card that, like I said, we're used to this feast on Mexican Independence Day weekend. You're used to like American Thanksgiving dinner is what, you know, that's what the boxing action usually is Independence Day weekend. This was like leftovers that you pulled out of the fridge. The only reason it's leftovers is because you didn't really enjoy it the night before. You know, like that's kind of the shit we were served up on. Was it Williams of Peta fought?
Yeah.
Hesta didn't want to be there.
No. You know,
and just like stopped throwing back. And I was like, oh, this is the main event for Independence Day weekend. How anticlimactic. It sucked.
It really did. And I like William Zepeda. We've seen him before. His nickname is the Shrimp. And I still don't know if it's because of his size or because he kind of has like a reddish color to his face. It's one of the two. But either way, I'm a fan. And he completely dominated here. But it wasn't anything exciting. It wasn't anything to get hyped up over. And it ended up getting stopped in the sixth. So while he looked good, it was definitely not anything that anyone has to go back and watch. And neither were any of the other fights on this card. It was in Los Angeles, and it looked like it was in some kind of a weird big tent kind of a thing. Right. It had like indie wrestling vibes going on, but it wasn't anything like, oh, this is the big show. This is the main event. It felt very like, oh, we're watching boxing on a Thursday kind of a thing. And it's not. It's Mexican Independence Day weekend. So it was kind of a letdown that this was the last fight that I watched, because you hit it right on the head. It's anticlimactic. And, you know, I'm still going to watch William Zepeda moving forward. But this fight wasn't anything to get excited about.
Right. And hopefully we got more exciting things coming up. Like this weekend coming up, we have the Zhang versus Joyce rematch.
Yeah.
All right. So that should be fun. We'll cover that with an episode next week. And then Chon Zepeda is taking on Richardson Hitchens. That's main event card from Florida. And then Jessica McCaskill versus Sandy Ryan will certainly have my attention. So
that's the one.
You know, two cards that we're going to cover in full next week there, Punch Maniacs. If there's something else that's going to be, you know, your local gym's going to have their guys all on some YouTube page, message me. Let me know. I'd love to. I'm a fan of the fight game. It doesn't need to be a big name. Just always happy to watch some boxing. So let me know. And did you see anything else coming up that interests you, Franco?
Yeah, there was a fight this morning in Japan. So we're recording Monday afternoon, and it ended like in the, you know, whatever weird time. But it was a Kenshiro Taraji against Heki Butler. So probably going to click on that. I'll let you know if there was anything worth watching on that one. It was on ESPN. Right. But we can always tack on a mention of that during Playing Boxing next week.
Without a doubt. So, yeah, it sounds like good time. I want to thank Franco for playing hurt today. It's tough to get on and talk after you've had a nose job. You know what I mean? He's definitely going Hollywood on us. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for listening. If you don't have anything else, Franco, I'm throwing in the towel.
Thank you for listening to Punches and Punchlines. Make sure to like, subscribe, and follow, and we'll see you next week when we break down the best in boxing with a sense of humor.